Brilliant.
Okay. Before we begin tonight, I just wanted to dedicate this year, Lili Nishmas, a very special child who was in the world for a very, very short amount of time. My cousin and her husband had a baby girl four years ago now. This was the fourth yard site today. Michal Fega, Bas Elisa Bela, and she died in infancy, and it was obviously something very, very difficult for the family in general, and we all remembered how my cousins went through this time and struggled very, very much, and nonetheless were able to show us exactly how you can accept Hashem's judgment with strength and without any understanding necessarily, but recognition that there was a purpose for this very, very difficult test, and that Mir Hashem, the neshama should have Aliyah from the Torah that we learned tonight, and Mir Hashem, we should have no more sadness, and to recognize that even though somebody's gone, that doesn't mean they're forgotten. And tonight, actually, the topic is very much related to the idea of loss. So let's start off now the Ramban Chaburah with the following Ramban in Parshas Chayisar, the very beginning. We find how Avram is wandering amongst the Canaanim, he goes amongst the Chittim, and he wants to buy a plot of land to bury his recently deceased wife. And the Ramban comments on this, and he notes an anomaly in the pasuk. He says, "Vitam," and whenever the Ramban says "Vitam," he doesn't mean like the reason for taking. He says the explanation. "Vitam the Acharei Kain Kavar Abraham Esar Ishto El Maras Sadeh Hamachpela He Chevron Beres Canaan," etc. Right? What's going on here? The pasuk tells in exact detail precisely where Abraham had buried Sarah, his wife. The Ramban explains why that is important. "Ki shav levar hasade ha'makom va'aretz bavur ki kol ha'parsha hizkira b'nei ches ve'efron achiti." All along we have been mentioning the Chitim, Efron achiti, the b'nei ches. We keep on talking about these different people. But what wasn't clear was that they were Canaanim. "Lefikach hizkir b'sof." Therefore, in the end, it mentioned that "ki hu be'eretz Canaan asher hi eretz Yisrael." It tells us dafka. Now, where was this? It was in Hebron, which was in Eretz Canaan, which, as we know, is Eretz Yisrael. It was important to specify that. Again, earlier in the parsha, it had specified this very point. It emphasized the Eretz Canaan. So all of this was in order to emphasize the fact that Tzedekes, Sarah, had died in Eretz Yisrael, and that was where she was buried. Because you might have thought the Chitim, who we might not be as familiar with, were maybe from some other family, were from other, their land was from some other portion. But no, the Torah goes out of its way to specify that this was in Eretz Canaan. Okay, so that's the what. What's the why? Why is this important? Lefi dati, the Ramban explains, according to me, ki tam haksuvim eino el lahaskir, ki hi Eretz Canaan lo Eretz Plishtim. The Pasuk says, because you might have thought it was something else. The Ramban says the Pasuk is telling us, don't think this is the land of the Plishtim. Rather, this is specifically Eretz Canaan. Okay. That we had said already that he lived in Eretz Plishtim for a long, long time. And he had been there for years and years and years. Hey, join us. Here you go. Take a brownie too. So he had been there for years in the land of the Plishtim. And it was confusing as to which stage he was in the land of Plishtim, which stage he was in Eretz Canaan. Al-Kain, his kirki, Chevron, who, the Eretz HaKanani. It emphasized again that Chevron was not where you might have thought it was. Who are these Chitim? I don't know. They're Canaanim. It was in the land of Canaan. That was where she died. That's where she was buried. And the Torah goes out of its way to emphasize that point. That's the local question the Ramban was dealing with. Why repeat that this idea? Why emphasize this? Because you would have had a havmin, as we said, right? You would have thought maybe this wasn't in the land of Canaan. Great. So the Torah clarifies it was in the land of Canaan, and that is the land of Eretz Yisrael. But deeper, that's more locally, more globally, more broadly. What's the Torah trying to tell us with this story in general? Why is this random, not random in that it's like unexpected, but more that it's just seemingly rather bland? Why is this story about Avram going and trying to bury his wife told to us in the first place? He has this whole conversation. He wants to meet the right guy. He gets the right land. He buys it for a lot of money. And he walks away after burying her. why is the Torah dedicating so much airtime to a story which seems to lack really any moral lesson, which seems to lack any philosophical message? That's what's bothering the Ramban on a deeper level. And moreover, let's see more as we read. V'nechta v'zosa parsha, the Ramban tells, and this parsha was written, Lo'odia chasdei Hashem im'avrei. Number one, why did the Torah bother telling us this story? In order to tell us of the chasdei Hashem, which Hashem had done to Avram, all the goodness Avram had bestowed upon him from Hashem. And the Ramban makes two specific points. Shehayin nasi elokim be'eret asher ba'al lagor sham. That at this point, he had just been traveling there for a little bit. Lagor, always there just for a little bit, to dwell there for a small amount of time. And yet, he was a prince of God. People knew him. He was, I don't know, world famous, but certainly famous in the local areas. Even though he was just a stranger from he was a foreigner from a different land. Yet he was well known, he was singular in his achievements, everyone looked up to him. After all, everyone was calling them my master, Adonai, my master. They were all saying my master. They call him in term of respect, even though he's just a stranger asking to come into their settlement and buy their land. Strangers weren't treated so nicely in the olden days. And yet Avram was looked up to, he was respected, he was revered. So on one level you see that degree of Hashem's chesed with Avram, Hashem's payment to Avram for all the good that he had done, Hashem gives him back even more good. And additionally, a second point, and this relates more why we wanted to emphasize here that it was in Eretz Yisrael, the Ishto Mesa V'nikbra B'nachas Hashem. A second point of the goodness which Hashem had bestowed on Avram was that his wife had the merit of dying, having lived, and died in Eretz Yisrael, and being buried there. We know, it's a great tzuchus. I remember I think a couple of months ago, maybe a couple of years ago already now at this point, my parents had bought, it's a big investment, they bought burial plots in Eretz Yisrael. And I'm the only sibling of mine, I'm the only child of my parents' family who actually lives in Israel. My parents were were deciding long and hard whether they should do it in America, buy a burial plot in America, or whether, ignoring the morbid nature of thinking about buying burial plots. But they decided to buy a burial plot in Eretz Yisrael. My siblings were a little bit upset, not really upset, a little bit upset that it wasn't going to be in America where they were near. But the reason is, and we know Chazal speak about this at length, you know, and sometimes in more metaphysical ways, and sometimes in more rational ways, that the place to be buried, at least where you want to live, really, but to be buried certainly, is to be in Eretz Yisrael. This is the place. And that's part of the chesed which Hashem had done for Sarah. She wasn't left to live her life and then die in Chutz La'aretz. Rather, it was in Eretz Yisrael. That's where she was buried. And that was a second component of the chesed which Hashem had done to Avram. So point number one, why tell us this seemingly bland story? For a very important idea, to show how Hashem fulfilled his promise. He began, at least, to fulfill his promises with Avram. He gave him so much good that the people around him knew and recognized this man is great. They all looked up to him. And another component of the chesed was that already his wife was buried in this land. She had the opportunity to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, which is a great tzuchus. Not everyone is worthy of that tzuchus. Not everybody receives or merits that special tzuchus. Additionally, a second reason why this parsha, again, seemingly bland, is written, ki ratzel hodi anu makom kvuras abos, basher anachnu chayavim l'kabin makom kvuras abosenu hakdosha. Then here's another point, and that is that we must know where the Avos are buried. The Avos are Gedoshim. Why do we care? Now, you might think, after what people often do, is to go to Kvaros, Kibre Tzadikim, in order to daven for the things that they need, to ask for the quest that they want, hoping to the Tzadik will be some sort of Zechus for them being at that place, which is certainly true, but it can't be lost upon us that another reason why we should go to, I guess, pay respect at the Kever of the Tzadik, and to make sure it's upkept properly, and that it doesn't have, you know, overgrown grass, and that has a nice monument erected there, is out of kavod for the Tzadik. It's not necessarily self-serving that for us, we want to go there to latch on to their Zechusim, but additionally, to give them the proper dignity, the honor that they deserve, for all that they have done for us, everything that we learned from them, everything that we still continue to learn from them, even though they've long passed away. And that's true whenever anybody's moved on, that we can still appreciate the lessons we had in their lives, and we should therefore show Hakar Satov and pay respect to them, even when they're no longer physically here with us. And that's another important point. The Torah wants to make emphasis on their location of death. And in fact, that's why it's so specific. Not just telling us it was in Canaan, but even in the exact location in Hebron, in Canaan, so that way we know where it is, so that way we can properly show respect to the others. And lastly, finally, a third reason they're about to suggest. Rabbi Yosenu Amru, he quotes the Gemara Baba Basra. Shagam zemin an sionu shel Avram, shebiki shmaku makbor, es sara, velo matza adjekana osa. Additionally, a third reason, it's almost the reverse of the first one, is that Chazal tells us this was a test of Avraham Avinu's. It was a test. How so? It was a test in that Avraham, for all the promises that Hashem had given him, that Hashem told him, you're going to get this land, you're going to inherit it, and indeed, Hashem had made him rich and famous. Hashem had given him a son. But Avraham still didn't own land in Eretz Yisrael. He still didn't own the land at all. And he needed to go find some place. He had to go and, arrange a buying a burial plot, even though Hashem had promised him this land. And it was a test for Avram. Avram is already an old man. In his old age, he's already at the end of his life. And he could have said, like, Hashem, when is the time going to come that you're going to give me this land? And instead, once again, we're used to this paragon of virtue, Avram Avinu, at this point, and Chayisar already used to his great emuna and bitachon. But what do we see from Avram? Already here, no complaint. He goes about his business. He arranges the burial plot. He doesn't complain to Hashem. But the Gemara Baba Basra tells us this was why the Torah told us this message. To teach us another test of Avram Avinu that we presumably can learn from. That we can see how to overcome challenges, frustrations. We expect our lives to play out in a certain way. And they're not exactly playing out that way. We hope, we dream of something occurring. And then it doesn't quite occur that way. In a case, like we said, where I'm talking about loss. Whenever something bad happens and we don't know why it is, Avram is a great example of someone who could have complained. He said, Hashem, you promised me this was going to happen. And yet, still, at the end of his days, he says, I have to go and buy a burial plot. He doesn't own a spot of land in Eretz Yisrael that he already has. He has to go and arrange something that he can go and bury Sarah in. And nonetheless, not a complaint is heard from Avram. Before I wrap things up, let's just see how the Ramban quotes the Pshatim of the Ibn Ezra. Dati Tam Laduri Rabbi Avram. The Ibn Ezra gives two other reasons as to why, so far to summarize, three reasons why in the global question of why was it that the Torah bothered telling us this whole bland story about Avram buying the land and then having a whole conversation with them to purchase a burial plot for Sarah and then burying Sarah. To note another point, which I said I would get to. Moreover, not only is it just bland and seemingly philosophical. It doesn't really add anything to our understanding of God. It doesn't add anything to understanding of morality. And yet the Torah bothers to tell us that. Another question is that not only is it that it's seemingly I'm just blinking right now. Sorry. Okay, let's move on. I had another point I wanted to make. But hopefully it will come back to me. You know, when you try to think about it, you don't remember it. When you don't think about it, it will come back to me. Emerge the ship. Okay, so if I have I'll add another. But the point is, not only is this a bland story, so now, why would we have this brought to us? The Ramban gives us a few reasons. We see, number one, how Chesed of Hashem was paid up to Avraham. We see, number two, how important it is to know where the Kibrei Tzaddikim are, or the Kfaros of our ancestors, those that we've learned from, how we should go and pay homage to them and respect them and make sure it's upkept. And lastly, we see how Avram managed to stay straight, not complain, not to make demands of Hashem when something did not go the way he expected, the way he had been promised. And instead, he managed to put it aside and succeed with flying colors in this perhaps final test of Avram Avinu. But Ibn Ezra had given us two more pshatim. Let's see what they are. He says, number one, Mo'diya mala Eretz Yisrael l'chaim l'meisim, to show us the greatness of Eretz Yisrael for those that are alive and those that are dead. And additionally, ve'od l'chaim lo dvar Hashem liyos lo l'nachal, which are similar to some of the Ramban's, but the Ramban's going to reject the Ibn Ezra's. He says, what do you mean that this shows us how great Eretz Yisrael is for those that are living and those that are dead? I don't understand. That's why the Torah bothered to tell us this parsha. It's pretty strange. Because, after all, what was Avram supposed to do? He was going to go take the corpse back to Aram? Obviously, he was going to bury her here. So, he didn't really have a choice. You don't see anything. Oh, he chose to bury her in Israel. So, what does the Ibn Ezra mean? And secondly, in terms of the Ibn Ezra's second pshat, that it shows you how Hashem was ready to be Mekayim and Nachal, giving Avram the Nachal in Eretz Yisrael. It gives him the beginning of a legacy, of a heritage. What do you mean? You don't see that at all here. Avram doesn't own much more than one little small plot of land. And yet, this is the Nachla that he's been given. The Nachla is fulfilled. The Ramban argues on the Ibn Ezra. He says, no, the Nachla is fulfilled later on when his children conquer the land. So, I just think, just to defend the Ibn Ezra before I wrap it up and bring home, I think, what's an important point, not from the Ramban, but my own. And that is, that to defend the Ibn Ezra, you still see the Malach Eretz Yisrael for the Chayin and Mason. From the fact that Avram was willing to try so hard to spend such an exorbitant sum to go ahead and purchase a burial plot here, that it was worthwhile to him to say, this is where I want her to be buried. And indeed, you do see the worthiness, as the Ibn Ezra tells us, of Eretz Yisrael being buried here. And that's why the Torah emphasized it. And in terms of the second point about Avram, this isn't the Nachla the Ramban claims. What is Ibn Ezra talking about? This Nachla, this is it. He gets one little portion. That's the Nachla Hashem had promised him. Well, actually, yeah. Because the place where you have somebody buried is, as we saw from the Ramban himself, is a place where you hope to visit, a place where you want to establish your roots nearby. That's why my siblings were upset when my parents bought plots in Eretz Yisrael. Because that's saying, this is where I want you to be near, to upkeep, to take care of, to visit, to still hold on to that connection. And therefore, one of the best ways to establish that your family will be in a certain area, that they'll be near, they'll be able to go and visit, is by being buried there. And therefore, it was the beginning of the Nachla of Avram Avinu. Until now, all his ancestors and all of his family had been buried far away. But now, this was setting up, saying, this is where our place is. It might not have been the full Nachla, but it was certainly the first step in making Eretz Yisrael the Nachla of the Bnei Yisrael. Now, that's the Ramban. I want to just note something. I know this is generally Ramban share, but I just want to bring out a point, which I think you see from the Psukim, in a very, very stark fashion. When you look at the beginning of the Parsha, Avraham Avinu goes to mourn over Sarah, his wife, to eulogize her, lespoda lekosa, to go and mourn, to eulogize, and to cry over his loss. And over the next 10, 15 psukim, the pasuk never calls Sarah any longer.
Hold on one second, can we get the finish?
The pasuk, in a striking fashion, repeatedly avoids calling the corpse Sarah. How so? By Thomas Sarah, etc. And the pasuk says, "Vayibo Avram lispod l'Sarah v'lifkosa." That's the only time. Then afterwards, "Vayakam Avram me'al pnei meisho." Avram got up from his dead body, from his corpse, and he speaks to them, and then he says to them, "Give me achuzas kever ve'ekbara meisi milfanai, and I'll bury my mace." And they answer him, saying, "As what?" Kavor es mei secha. It goes on and on and on. It rings in one's ears. You read the next 15 psukim, and it just says again and again, mace. Referring to Sarah merely as a corpse. And you would think, therefore, what's the amkus, what's the depth behind this idea? Is that when a person passes on, they're lost. They're gone. Avram lost Sarah. He mourned Sarah. And then afterwards, she was just a limpless body. And therefore they refer to her as a body. What are you burying? You're not burying Sarah, you're burying the body. And that's what you would have thought the message of these psukim were. That the person is beyond their body, they're their soul, they're everything that we remember from them, everything we learn from them, but not their body. Their body is just a mace, just a corpse, and you bury that. However, what's fascinating then, that might have been true until you see the end of the parsha. And at the very end, right before Parakov Dala begins, V'acharei Cain, after the whole interaction, cover Avram as Sarah Ishto. Avram buries Sarah, his wife. So you can tell me the pshat I was just suggesting. That it means that, oh, the body and the soul are different, the body and the memories are different, the body and what the person meant to us is different. Because Avram didn't bury the body. Avram buried Sarah, his wife. What's going on here? The pasuk went clearly out of its way to refer to Sarah merely as mace throughout, after the first time when Avram mourns her, and then says mace, and then the end refers again to Sarah being buried. Sarah being buried as Sarah, not as the mace. What's going on? So I thought perhaps this was connected to a Gemara. It comes up in a few different places in Shas, which tells us that when a spouse dies, the spouse, of course, was beloved, or presumably was beloved by many people. by their extended network of friends, by their coworkers, but more personally, by their local nuclear family, their cousins, their aunts, their uncles, but most specifically, only for their spouse. They die, the Gemara tells us, only for their spouse. When one person moves on, who really do they die for? They die for the spouse, for the most intimate relationships in their lives. When that person passes on, the one who feels it the truest, the most deeply, is that person himself. And that's something that can't ever be shared. It's something which is very intimate. It relates only to the person undergoing that loss. We, perhaps all, in our own ways, can undergo through our own loss, can undergo our own losses. But we can't necessarily reach out and understand the pain somebody's going through when they suffer a loss. We're not in their position. That's why the Gemara tells us that when a spouse dies, they die only for their spouse. Similarly, I believe in this story, what the Torah is trying to tell us when it reads this, and for the Ramban and Ibn Ezra's three and two more points, I would suggest another point that the Torah is coming to emphasize by telling us this whole story, is that when one person dies, when they're gone from this world, it is a major loss. But truly, deeply, mostly, for the person that was most connected for them. For everyone else, as much as they might care, as much as they might honestly try to empathize, they might sympathize and empathize, they cannot pass a certain bridge. They will not be able to feel the pain fully. And that's why when Avram, in the public arena, is interacting with the Chitim, when he's interacting with Sarah as a person that was shared, not only by him, but with others, he refers to her as Mace, and they refer to her as Mace, because to them it was a loss. It was that person. But on a very simplistic level, to Avram, it was the loss of his everything. It was the loss of his Sarah. And in the beginning, when it's just Avram talking, you might ask, where was Yitzhak in this whole story? By the other deaths of the Avos, that was the point I wanted to mention beforehand, by the way, is that another reason why this story is strange, is that the Torah goes out of its way to tell us all about Sarah's burial and death, when by the other Avos and Imahos, it barely mentions them, if at all, a pasuk or two, and some of them not even at all. And yet by Sarah, Imenu, it goes at great length. I think one of the messages this story is teaching us is there to say that when somebody is lost, the people who feel it closest cannot ever be able to express that pain fully to the others around them, because that loss is just too intimate. Only they know what that person meant to them. Only they were able to understand. And when you discuss it on a public forum with other people, it might sometimes be important, it might be therapeutic, I'm not taking away from that. What I'm trying to emphasize is what I think the Gemara and the Pesukim are emphasizing, is that only they can truly know that loss. And that's why in the end, when Avram alone, again without any mention of Yitzhak, when Avram alone buries Sarah, he most heartfeltly was able to feel that loss, and now she goes back away from being the mace. It's not about the body. It's about moving on past that experience, that relationship. What she meant for him in his life was something that was only felt by him. And he alone buries not the mace, but Sarah. He alone mourns her. They all deal with the practical details of burying her. But then Avram alone is the one who truly has her loss. And I think what this should teach us, I'm not trying to say you shouldn't try to be Menachem Avel. You shouldn't try to go out and empathize with loss. Adrav, of course you should. Of course you should. But what I'm trying to say, and I think is a very deep message, which the Pesukim can bring out, I know, just tying it back in, that we dedicated this year tonight, the Torah that we learned tonight, to a loss that happened to my family, to cousins of mine who unfortunately lost a child so precious, so young, so early, and all the dreams and hopes and aspirations which were riding on that child were gone. Lost. As much as we might try sincerely to be sensitive and to help them comfort, be comforted, to help them deal with the loss, of course we should try, but we should do it with the utmost sensitivity. Because ultimately, when somebody's going through a hard time, when somebody's experiencing something which is difficult, we should know that we're not them. And there is that bridge which we cannot cross. We cannot necessarily feel their pain. The loss is only fully felt by them. It's something that we're just restricted by. And therefore, we should be extremely sensitive as to what we say and how we say it, what tone we use, and what context we say it. We should be so careful, because Avram Avinu alone lost Sarah. Everybody else felt it on some level, but to them it was much closer to just being a mace. To Avram, it was his Sarah. And Amir Hashem, we should learn from this message of the Torah. We'll learn from the message of the Gemara, what I think the Pesukim are hinting at. another point. Not only that we should be mechabi the kfaros of tzaddikim. Not only that we should appreciate what it means to be an Eretz Yisrael. Not only we should appreciate the chesed that Hashem did to Avram. And all the other messages we saw from the Rishonim. But this other point, which I believe is twinkling at us beneath the psukim, that we should be so, so careful in assuming that we can feel exactly what the other person is feeling, and we can empathize, and we can convey what they need to hear. Think long and hard before you speak, and make sure that's exactly what they want, and then, Mir Tashem, we will actually comfort them, and not overstep boundaries and cause more harm, chas v'shalom, than good.
Good shot.